This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run. It's 6 a.m. Monday, the 14th of March, and the start of a new week. I'm Wong Shaoning in the studio together with Tan Chen Li. Good morning. How was your weekend?
What weekend?
Why do you say that?
It was a very jam-packed weekend for me. So it feels like no weekend for me. So.
Okay, it was one activity after another.
Yeah.
Was there no highlight at all? No respite from the craziness?
Well, there was a wedding to go for.
And okay, then, weddings yes. In the new era.
Yes.
How was it? Was everyone in a mask? What's the point of photos then?
Exactly, right? And then you have to test yourself and all that and, you know, the mask. And of course, we have to, at a certain point, we remove our mask for photos and stuff like that. But, you know, I don't know. It changed the way weddings are.
Forever and ever. I don't know. Maybe one day we might not have masks anymore. We'll go back to having these big dinners and, you know, all that ceremony. But in the meantime, yeah, unfortunately, SOPs are here. So stay safe, everyone. But as usual, today we have a very, very packed show. At 7:15, we'll be asking you whether you have been shopping and whether that's going to be reflected in the coming months ahead. We're going to have a conversation with Tan Hai Sin, who's the Managing Director of the Malaysian Retail Group. And at 7:30, interesting conversation about the Iran nuclear deal. Tell us about it, Chandi.
That's right. We will be talking to Dr. James Dorsey, Senior Fellow of Middle East Institute, NUS. He will be telling us more about the Iran nuclear deal, because over the weekend or before the weekend, there was some development of it. It was halted. Well, of course, this has been going on for 11 months, close to a year, and we still don't seem to see the end of the tunnel for it. So we want to know more about it. So okay. We'll speak to Dr. James Dorsey.
Interesting stuff. Then at 7:45, we're going to be talking about oil subsidies and how expensive it is for us, Malaysia, with Dr. Huita Muhammad. She is from IDEAS. And of course, at 8 a.m., do tune in. It's going to be a very interesting breakfast grill where we will be examining what happened during these Johor State elections, the outcome, and what does this mean for GE15 with our two frequent political commentators, Dr. O.E. Sun and also Dr. Azmi. So do tune in. In the meantime, we'll be discussing all of this and more on the show. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. And that was the Still Sound by Tori Emoy, a very chillax song to wake us up on a Monday morning. But, you know, for some of us, sleep is rather elusive. And I think this article from The Economist really brings home this well, something I suffer from, a bit of insomnia. And it's entitled, The Sleep Tech Industry is Waking Up. Now, I think most of us here at BFM, especially the Morning Run crew, we always have issues with sleep because of our rather odd working hours. We come in at 5, we go off at 2 in the afternoon, and of course, that means we have to get up super duper early You know, for most Malaysians, they're still sleeping, but we have already started half our day. I, for one, get up at 3, and I think some of the crew get up at 4, which means that we go to bed like 5-year-olds, or at least I do, before 8 p.m. But how do we achieve this? And do we ever get enough sleep? And my answer to that is no, I don't. I have an incredible sleep debt, which I don't think I'll ever be able to pay. But is the journey towards better sleep here already with technology? What do you think, Chen Li? Because this is the purpose of the article, isn't it?
That's right. So there's a lot of tech that's been going on to help you to sleep. And that's always the discussion that always interests us in the Morning Run, I mean. So the wearable gadgets is one of the things that has been published, I mean, or so-called launched in the market. For example, you wear your Apple Watch to sleep and they measure your sleeping pattern, your heart rate. And there's also some apps, I think, in the past that you put it next to your pillow and then they measure how you have tossed and turned and stuff like that. And I always wonder, you know, are these really helpful?
Have you tried any of them?
I've tried the toss and turn, which is to put the phone next to my pillow and I call it toss and turn because it doesn't help me sleep at all.
It doesn't. Did it give you some insight into the quality of your sleep, though?
It does, but I became very conscious of it.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's, I would try not to move too much, or I try to move too much. I don't know. So it changes the way I sleep. So I became too conscious of it and in the end, I couldn't sleep.
Okay, so you gave up.
Yes, I gave
up on
it. Which
is exactly what the article says, because it says that 40% of users of such wearables or, you know, technology eventually abandon the device.
Yes. I mean, imagine wearing a watch to sleep. It's kind of uncomfortable, isn't it?
Well, everything is a matter of getting used to. I suppose for some people, it's great. It's a tool by which they live to. You know, they believe in it and it helps them. I think sometimes sleep is a bit of psychology, right? How do we unwind at the end of a very busy day? Some people have a magic switch, I swear. They just lie down and pop. They're out like that, literally. You know, like my fingers are clicking, right? They're out like a light. And then some of us, me included, lie in the darkness with our eyes shut and the brain just can't stop. It just keeps buzzing, buzzing, buzzing with a million things. And sleep hygiene, all of us know it, right? Especially if you've had, you're like always had problems with insomnia. You would know all the rules about sleep hygiene. The bed is only for sleeping. Don't eat too early bedtime. Switch off your phone. Don't look at gadgets. Don't look at the blue light. It's bad for you. Things like that. Don't take long afternoon naps. Exercise in the morning. I practice it all.
Do you do meditation?
I don't. I'm very bad because my brain is whizzing past. And I should. And I actually downloaded some apps where, not so much meditation, but they kind of supposedly help your brain calm down before you go to bed.
Is it like some kind of like noise, white noise at the back?
Yeah, it's a very calm lady talking to you about letting go of what you feel for the day.
Mm-hmm. Does it work for you?
Sometimes I would have to say it's not a bad device, especially if I kind of just need to put a stop to my random thoughts in my head. Yeah, but I would say that for all of us, it's a combination of, you know, there's no one size fits all when it comes to sleep, right? Everyone has different prescriptive measures that they do to help them sleep.
I've tried the meditation app recently.
Does it work for you?
No, I couldn't sleep at all.
Okay, so what works, Chenni? Because now we're depressed. The app doesn't work. Meditation doesn't work. What
the
works?
The watch doesn't work.
The watch doesn't work, which, by the way, is a market of US $12.5 billion a year. That tells
Huge.
You how many people can't sleep out there.
Yes.
What works? Give us your tips.
I think I just work out. I think if possible, you know, you just get really tired and then just go to sleep. And then probably like a switch on a button, like what you said, you know. A light, like a switch of light.
But what happens if you're stressed?
Oh, if I'm stressed, I don't know. I guess I just have to read something else to
something
sort of
non-market
yes,
related. Okay,
and bring my attention somewhere else.
I think okay. Please WhatsApp in at 018-789-8899. Tell us your tips for better sleep, or you can always, you know, give us suggestions on Twitter. Our handle is at BFM Radio. We'd like to know how, why. Maybe give us some ideas on how we can sleep better. And we're heading for a quick break. When we come back, we'll be talking about Tinder Swindler. Keep it here, BFM 89.9. Tiny Dancer by Elton John, 6:20 on Monday, the 14th of March. And you're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Wong Xiaoning together with Tan Chen Li. As usual, at this time of the morning, we look through all the interesting newspaper articles, portals, anything that really catches our eye in terms of what we want to highlight. And I think we're having a bit of a deep look at popular culture this morning because it's about scammers and scammers being shown on Netflix, on television. And the article is actually from The Guardian. It's from Anna Delvey to the Tinder Swindler. Why do we fall for TV scammers? Chenli, you picked this story, right? Tell us, what is the appeal? Are you a scammer? Actually, isn't social media making us all a bit of a scammer because we are always going to be more glamorous, prettier, thinner, more lead more interesting lives than in reality when we're just at home mulling about?
Actually, that's exactly what Anna Delvey said. Well, I'm sure a lot of people have probably watched Inventing Anna, Tinder Swindler, and which is both Netflix's top stream series, and both are also about scammers. But why are these scammers so popular? These scammer series, I mean. And The Guardian's Nancy Jo Sales think that it's because they reflect the reality of the world that has normalized fakeness. So being fake is normal.
Okay, so it's cool. It's cool to be better than who you really are.
Yes, and she actually blames the social media and tech companies for this because most of these online scams starts from the social media. Mm-hmm. And according to the article, interesting point is that young people between the age of 20 to 29 seems to appear to most likely fall prey to online scams.
So digital natives aren't immune
yes.
to being scammed. You always used to assume it was the older
people,
and it's not true.
Yes, it's the younger people who seem
It's a fact. There's a full born every minute then. It doesn't really matter. What age group?
Perhaps, that's right. And why young people? It could possibly be because they've been growing up with social media. Mm. So it's so normal to the people of this age, they can't really tell the difference between real and fake.
Yeah, and I think even though this article reflects or highlights the level of scams in, you know, countries like US and UK. So, for example, the US Federal Trade Commission says that there were 2.8 million frauds in 2021, with people losing $5.8 billion. But even back home in Malaysia, we see it in the papers. We hear about Macau scams, romance scams, love scams, Lembaga, LDNHN. They will never call you guys. If you get a phone number from the tax department, put it down. Put it down immediately. Okay, that's not so much an internet online scam, but it's a scam nonetheless.
Yes, there's been a lot of scams that's going on right now out there, and a lot of people fall prey to it, you know. Mm. So you have to use a lot of judgment and think, is it right, you know, whatever that call is, that email, or even someone on social media text you and said that, hey, you know, I see your profile is interesting. Can I use you for a certain endorsement for a product? Don't fall for those. You know, it's nothing good will fall from the sky for free like that.
Yeah. Why would anybody ask me to endorse anything, right?
Exactly.
What's the logic of that? Unless you're talking about lack of sleep. Yeah, I can endorse that. But you're right. And I think because we spend so much of our lives on social media, do you think that we have lost our inability to discern what is fake and what is real? It all becomes one big blur, right? Mm. And I think that's the danger there.
Yes.
So, you know, whether we should spend less time on social media, maybe more be more discerning in whom we friend on social media?
Yeah, I think maybe not to say spend less time, but perhaps just use more of your judgment. Don't just switch off your judgment when you're on social media and just looking at nice pictures and be attracted to nice pictures alone. Because a lot of times the pictures are just a small fraction of the entire scene. And the rest of the scene will be very, very completely opposite from what the picture is trying to tell you.
Of course, and especially if you're a scammer. You know how to feed into people's emotional, their needs, what they want, you know, where they're lacking in their lives, and you just give them that. And of course, then they'll believe it, right?
Yes.
But we are also guilty of it in terms of what we post on our social media.
That's right.
We generally post the best.
Nicer things.
Yes, we seldom want to ever post the real truth. But we're heading into the 6:30 a.m. news bulletin. And when we come back, we'll look at the international headlines. Coming up is Radio Gaga by The Queen. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. Last night, by The Strokes, you're listening to The Morning Run with Wong Xiaoning together with Tan Chely. 6:40 in the morning, Monday, the 14th of March, and the beginning of a new week. And as usual, at this time of the day, we are looking through the international news headlines. Chely, let's start with you. What has caught your eye?
Yes, even though it's a new week, but news are still a little bit old in a way because of Russia. You know, you see this headline has been going on for 2 weeks already. So there's been an exodus amount. A lot of companies have been leaving Russia. And so last week, Russian President Vladimir Putin actually expressed that they a support for a law to nationalize assets of these foreign companies that leave the country over the Ukraine war. So you want to leave? Your assets will be nationalized. I would take your assets. That's what he's saying.
Well, unsurprisingly, because Bloomberg's reporting that Russia has already lost access to almost half of its reserves and sees more risk to Putin's war chest due to increased pressure from the West. So about the, you know, their reserves is $640 billion. And about $300 billion of that, they can't even touch it. The Russians are in a dire economic situation. There's sanctions going on. Their bonds are practically in default.
They've been downgraded also, rating-wise?
They're junk bonds, effectively. And if I'm not wrong, there's some US dollar bond, US dollar Russian bonds, which are maturing. And so far, I think the indications are they're going to try and pay their debt holders in rubles, which is unheard of.
Yes. So a lot of things going on with the Russia side in terms of the financial system and all that. And actually, over to a few days ago, I also saw an article about those people who's remaining in Russia, especially the expats. They're all also trying to leave because there's a rumor saying that their assets will be seized by the Russian government. So they were all trying to save whatever
Isn't
they can.
Isn't it the case? Because now they are being
seized. Yes, yeah. Correct. So there have been an exodus in the amount of people running as well from away from Russia. So a little bit about Russian oil has also always been a subject of discussion over here over the past few weeks, right? And affects especially Europe. They have been affected by this, more impacted by this than
yes,
anywhere else.
Because they are very energy dependent on Russia. Correct. Less so, America, Russia as a percentage of global trade is actually really small. It's about, what, 3%? But it's significant to the Europeans for the gas supplies, right?
That's right.
And as we, okay, now it's not winter, but as we get to the winter months in November, December, and if Russia, you know, they don't want to use Russian gas, there are going to be question marks about how households and even businesses can run.
That's right. And also oil. So France actually announced a fuel aid package of 2 billion euro to help consumers with struggling with soaring fuel prices. So, which is, I think, nice of them. So they would actually...
They have to. It's political survival, right? If I'm not wrong, UK
Election.
France is heading for elections this year. The UK is also planning to do so in their budget that's coming. There will be tabled in March. So expectations that there will be some help with regards to heating bills, which have gone up if you're a European by at least 100%. Now, I want to talk a little bit about China. Interestingly, China, their tech hub of Shenzhen has come under a city lockdown on Sunday. Shanghai residents also asked to avoid all but essential travel, and they've closed schools. And this is on the back of the COVID-19 outbreak continuing to spread in many parts of China. And this is the Singapore Straits Times reporting this news.
It's actually in a few newspaper articles, actually, because their cases have doubled to nearly 3,400 a day, I think. And not just Shenzhen. Over the weekend before, Shanghai has also been affected, Jilin, Yanji, and a few other places.
Okay, very quickly, the Financial Times. Interestingly, El Salvador is planning to launch a Bitcoin bond. 6 months ago, they accepted it as legal tender, and now there's going to be a bond going to be called Volcano Bond. Let's see whether it does take off. But it's 6:44. When we come back, we're going to take a look at today's local headlines. Keep it here, BFM 89.9. And that was Two Steps Behind by Def Leppard. Maybe that's how Pakatan Harapan is feeling today after the Johor State elections. They're definitely two steps behind. 6:50 in the morning, Monday, the 14th of March. And as usual, we're looking through the local headlines that have caught our eye. And it's obviously all about the Johor State elections again and again. The outcome, not really surprising to me. 2/3 majority for Barisan Nasional. Maybe a little bit of surprise for me. But what does this all mean for GE15? We'll be asking our political commentators at 8 a.m. during our breakfast grill. So do tune in. We're going to go through the nitty-gritty of the state elections. Who is the winners? Who are the losers? Although the losers, I think, are pretty obvious. But what else has caught your eye, Chen Li?
This is a rather odd time to be saying this. This is by Dr. M, who has agreed to close the Linus plant.
It's not his decision, by the way, since he's no longer Prime Minister of Malaysia.
Yes, but he's quoted to be the one saying it. So I'm not sure why and how and all that. So he says that if Pakatan Harapan government is in power...
So it's an if, lah.
If, correct. Okay. So it's kind of, I mean, I find it odd to be at this timing and
well,
this statement.
Well, he's trying to maybe make some promises, but my question is, he was Prime Minister of Malaysia, you know, twice, not once, but twice. And during the second time round, why didn't he close it if that was what he wants to do the third time round?
That's right, which is kind of weird. So, and then I don't know whether I want to cover more on the election because it's everywhere, which we are going to do the grill already anyway. Maybe I'll talk about the COVID, which is the kids' vaccination. So this is on page 8 on New Straits Times. They were saying that pediatricians should be allowed to administer COVID-19 jabs to children because they think that this would help to tackle vaccine hesitancy and boost immunization rate.
So give it to the pediatricians on the spot to do it.
Correct. So that it would give the parents more comfort and stuff, and also to address the hesitancy that they have with the kids because I think the vaccination rate is only 30%+.
It has crept up, but it's still below expectations. And yeah, when you see the cases of children catching it, it's actually surprisingly quite high, especially category 4 and 5 for kids. The ICU beds requirement, ventilators for them has increased, I think partially because they're not vaccinated. But looking at the age weekly, I, of course, as usual, every week I look at the Frankly Speaking column. And in it, it asks a question about last week in Parliament. Federal Territory Minister Dato' Sri Shahidan Kasim said KL City Hall, which is DBKL, had appointed a consultant to study and redesign the city's drains to accommodate increased rainwater and thus prevent flash floods. So apparently the government is also reviewing all national flood management mechanisms under the instructions of the National Security Council. This happened after last Tuesday's flash floods, where we saw lots of pictures of cars being submerged in the centre of town. Many streets in Klang Valley were impacted. Mm-hmm. So Dato' Sri Ismail Sabri said the cabinet has decided to approve a 15 billion budget for this. I'm just curious about ownership and accountability, which is exactly what the Edge is asking.
There's also another piece on TVET. They're saying that the policy should include a diverse range of courses, integrate entrepreneurship, and also create financially rewarding careers, because this will erase the perception that vocationally education is last resort for poor academic performers and dropouts. So I think they're just trying to address this vocational program that, you know, is not a bad thing. You know, people can opt for it. So quite a lot of open-mindedness here about
it. We have discussed this countless times on the Morning Run. I mean, we've had conversations with even MP Nurul Izzah on the topic of TVET education. For me, funding is not an issue. We spend a lot of money on this. It's more the coordination between the different ministries. And whether in the first place our model is the correct one, because we don't involve businesses as much as we should have, or we should have. Maybe the model is, the German model should be something that we mm-hmm. aspire to.
That's right.
Where businesses take on internships or vocational students from the start go, versus sending them to formal education and then expecting them to get a job. So a relook in terms of how it is. And also, I think parents also have to change their mindset that vocational education is not necessarily a bad thing. It's a form of professional education and it can lead to, you know, a good career prospects. So I think this TVET questions keeps coming up and up again. In the meantime, underemployment, graduates earning barely a minimum wage. Mm. You know, we need to address this more seriously. But we're heading into the 7 a.m. news bulletin. And when we come back, we'll be looking at how markets are doing. But to take us there is Half Moon by Janis Joplin. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.